听力课堂，听 class.com。
全国翻译专业资格水平考试辅导丛书，英语口译实务三级，第五格
，Section 9，模拟考试 ，Part 1。Listen to the recorded dialogue and interpret it as required. After you hear a sentence or a short passage in Chinese, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. And after you hear an English sentence or a short passage, interpret it into Chinese. You will hear the dialogue only once. Here is the tape script of the dialogue.
你知道吗？五十年前西藏和平解放了。这是西藏发展史上一个具有划时代意义的转折点。
I read from Chinese modern history that it was a major event in China. It ushered in a new era in which Tibet would turn from darkness to light, from backwardness to progress, from poverty to affluence, and from seclusion to openness.
是的，在这五十年里，在西藏这片古老而神奇的土地上，发生了以往任何时代都无可比拟的巨大变化。创造了旷世未有的人间奇迹。
Would you please tell me what specific changes have taken place in Tibet?
这五十年里，西藏实现了社会制度的历史性跨越，走上了社会主义道路，百万农奴翻身做了主人。
Oh, I know. Feudal system was abolished. Before that, the Tibetan people had long been suppressed and exploited, and had not even had the minimum of human rights.But after that, people have been fully enjoying political, economic, cultural, and other rights, and having complete control of their destiny.
而且在这五十年里，西藏经济建设取得长足发展，人民生活水平显著提高。经过民主改革、社会主义改造和改革开放，西藏社会生产力获得空前的解放和发展。
I heard that the income of urban and rural residents has increased steadily.With the overwhelming majority of people out of poverty and some people leading comfortable lives. This stands in stark contrast to the plight of the destitute people in the old Tibet.
是的，历经五十年不平凡的岁月，今天的西藏经济发展、社会进步、民族团结、局势稳定、边防巩固、人民安居乐业，呈现出一派生机勃勃、欣欣向荣的景象。
Part 2Listen to the recorded passage in English and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into Chinese by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the English passage.
In an age when spaceflight has come to seem almost routine, it is easy to overlook the dangers of travel by rocket.And the difficulties of navigating the fierce outer atmosphere of the Earth. These astronauts knew the dangers, and they faced them willingly, knowing they had a high and noble purpose in life. Because of their courage and daring and idealism, we will miss them all the more. The whole mankind today is thinking, as well, of the families of these men and women who have been given this sudden shock and grief. You're not alone.Our entire nation grieves with you, and those you loved will always have the respect and gratitude of this country. The cause in which they died will continue. Mankind is led into the darkness beyond our world by the inspiration of discovery and the longing to understand. Our journey into space will go on. In the skies today, we saw destruction and tragedy. Yet farther than we can see, there is comfort and hope. The Creator, who names the stars,also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the Shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth, yet we can pray that all are safely home.
Part 3. Listen to the recorded passage in Chinese and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once.Here is the tape script of the Chinese passage.
在博鳌2004年亚洲年会的开场会议上，中国国家主席胡锦涛说， 中国现代化要取得成功，并给全体中国人民带来富裕的生活，还需要长期艰苦的斗争。在过去的25年间，中国一面推进改革开放，同时创举性的植入了一个面向外部世界的社会主义市场经济。中国的生产力水平不断提高，综合国力不断增强。由于各种社会主义事业如火如荼的进行，中国人民从整体上已经完成了从最低生活水平到基本富裕的历史性飞跃。从1978年到2003年的这25年间，中国经济以 GDP 每年 9.4% 的速度增长，外贸和外汇储备分别从1473亿美元、206亿美元、1.67 亿美元飙升到超过1.4万亿美元、8512亿美元、4030亿美元。中国目前是世界的第六大经济实体以及第四大贸易国。中国如此巨变的原因是，中国坚持建设有中国特色的社会主义道路，坚持改革开放，这样就激励了中国人民的主动性、热忱心和创造力。
第十一单元，商务会谈。
Unit 11 Business Talks
Section 4
口译练习，听力练习。一，听与复述。
Listen to the tape and repeat what you have heard.
As with all important trade liberalization agreements, China's WTO commitments will, in the first place, benefit her own economy and people. As I have said, beyond the immediate commercial opportunities it will offer, WTO accession is destined to have a substantial impact on economic reform and development in China. Sustainable growth and stability in China are vital, not only in the country itself, but for her neighbors in Asia, and indeed for the rest of the world. The changes engendered by WTO should therefore run in parallel with the continuing domestic reform program. That is why, for example, we agreed to step-by-step market opening in many areas, with implementation typically taking place within a 3 to 5 year period. So WTO accession should be one of the key anchors for reform, one which steers rather than strains the economy in China. Entering the world trading system will be a catalyst for Chinese firms to become more efficient, to show that they can compete on fair terms with the rest of the world. I hope that the accession agreement will therefore also be good for Chinese companies and workers, as they draw the benefits of increasing foreign investment and take on the most modern management practices and legal structures. And beyond economies, WTO accession should serve to boost the rule of law in China. The WTO seeks to uphold the fundamental principles of transparency, non-discrimination, efficient administration, and independent judicial review. The regulatory jungle in China has been notoriously difficult for foreign firms to steer through. The elaboration of new and revised structures firmly founded on these principles should contribute to evolution of China's economic, legal, and social systems.
二，听与跟述。
Listen to the tape and simultaneously follow up with your repeating the passage.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for inviting me to be the guest speaker at today's forum. It is always a pleasure to meet Canadian business people and talk about our bilateral trade because trade is so important a component in our overall bilateral relations that we should grab every opportunity to promote it, especially against the backdrop of China's emerging economic power in the 21st century. We need to let more Canadians and Canadian business be well informed about the business environment in China and prospects of future cooperation between our two countries. Long before China and Canada established diplomatic relations, two-way trade had acted as a launching pad for frequent contacts and better mutual understanding between our two countries and peoples, which led to the formal recognition of each other in 1970. The Canadian Wheat Board initiated trade relations between China and Canada in the early 1960s by exporting wheat to China, which at the time was afflicted with drought at home and embargo from abroad. Bilateral trade in 1970 was only $161 million. 30 years later, trade volume between China and Canada in 2000 reached a record of $7 billion, an increase of 46 times.
三，听与笔记。
Listen to the tape and take notes while listening.
In the course of building a sound market economy, China has pursued a proactive fiscal policy and economic restructuring, which have yielded marked results. In the year of 2000, China's GDP grew by 8%, exceeding $1 trillion for the first time in history. The per capita GDP reached $800. By the end of last year, China's foreign exchange reserve edged up to $165.6 billion, making China the second in the world. China's foreign trade ranked the seventh in the world, amounting to a total of $474.3 billion. For 8 years in a row, China has remained in the first place in terms of attracting foreign direct investment among developing countries. By the first half of this year, China's GDP maintained the robust growth rate of 7.9%, and import and export increased by 11.3% to $241 billion. China has not only completely stepped out of the gloom of the Asian financial crisis, but also has embarked on a track of rapid economic expansion. This year sees the start of the 10th Five-Year Plan for Economic and Social Development. During the period, the economic growth rate will be kept at around 7%. By the year of 2010, China's GDP will double the figure of 2000. The priority areas for China's sustainable development in the next decades or so will be high-tech and IT industry, infrastructure development, education, and environmental protection.
口语补充练习。第一篇。汉英口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们、先生们，上午好。应邀出席本届华商大会，我感到很荣幸。墨尔本的华人企业家必须同澳洲其他城市的华人企业家竞争，才取得了第五届世界华商大会的主办权。今天，在澳洲的每一个大城市里，都有一个朝气蓬勃的华人社群。这些华人社群不再集中在唐人街，他们已散布到郊区，并且在商业、专业领域、大学，同时也逐渐在州和联邦政治中享有充分的代表。世界其他地方也出现了同样的趋势。华裔移民在加利福尼亚州硅谷所扮演的角色就是一个很突出的例子。加州大学伯克利分校的一名教授在1999年6月24日的《华尔街日报》上就提到，亚裔移民企业家正协助改变硅谷，还提到自1980年以来创建的高科技公司中几乎有 25%是由华裔和印度裔移民管理的，单单华裔移民就占了超过 17%。 这些数字恐怕不能很好地反映移民企业家的贡献，他们当中有许多在由美国出生的企业家所管理的公司工作。最近几年，有越来越多这类公司已由亚洲人管理。硅谷的亚裔移民不仅在技术上有所专长， 他们的管理才能也得到认可。硅谷所发生的情况也逐渐在北美的其他地区出现。在世界各地，华人企业家在环球经济中扮演着越来越重要的角色。世界华商大会之所以日益壮大，部分原因是因为这些年来有大批华裔人才从中国和东南亚移民到澳洲、新西兰、北美洲和欧洲等地。不论他们身在何处，华人都保持着一些基本的价值观，如大家庭关系、良好的职业道德、高储蓄的习惯，要在教育上取得卓越表现，感到对家庭和朋友有义务等。不论他们定居何处，这些华人的特性始终持续和被保留。华族文化很坚固，不受政治制度所影响，这些是为什么中华文明能够延续至今的一个原因。华人勤勉，对科学与数学具有天分，同时能够保持在世界各地的巨大联络网，这使他们能为21世纪的知识型经济做好充分的准备。太平洋两岸的华裔科学家、软件工程师和企业家在高科技领域里取得了越来越显赫的名声，正好说明了这种趋势。虽然华人的价值体系中很多观念都适用于当前的经济情况，但有一些却再也不管用了。当一家企业的成长超越某个水平时，其运作就会变得更加复杂。如果这些企业要与时并进，就必须愿意广招人才，让他们担任负重责的职务。不过这种需要往往因创立有关企业的家族担心会失去控制权而受到阻挠。在下一个世纪里，华资企业应该摆脱家族管理，转而由专业人员管理，这是很重要的。对于那些业务复杂而需求寻找国际人才的企业尤为必要。要在金融和高科技领域里发展世界级的企业，专业管理人员必须能自由决定如何对不断改变的环境做出反应。目前要从家族管理过渡到专业管理并非易事，这与根深蒂固的文化本能相抵触。那些无法在这方面向前跨越的华资企业将无法在环球市场上竞争。华人企业家面对的另一个重大挑战是政治效忠的问题。中国以外的华人应把个人的政治和本身的文化分开，这是十分重要的。因此，每当我们每隔两年在这大会上聚首时，我们是以华人企业家而不是以中国人的身份出席的。这可是一说难行，因为文化上的情感有时会影响到我们的政治反应。当指责中国盗取美国核武器机密的考克斯报告书发表时，许多华裔美国人感到愤怒，他们立即察觉到这是出于种族偏见。本身属于少数西班牙裔的美国能源部长理查森得费一番唇舌来向在能源部核实验室工作的亚裔美国人保证他们不会受到种族歧视。他必须做出这项保证，因为很多在洛斯阿拉莫斯主要核武器研究实验室工作的科学家是华裔。然而担任敏感职位的科学家如今必须先通过测谎器的测试，而这是从来没有过的。移居海外的华人应该对他们所属的新家园在政治上完全效忠，这是非常重要的。在东南亚，这个历史进程自第二次世界大战以来就经历许多曲折变化。今天泰国大半的国会议员是华裔泰国人。在泰国和菲律宾，华裔和当地人在公共和私人部门、在社会各层面 都不分彼此地打成一片。很多华裔和当地人也相互通婚。在澳大拉西亚、北美洲和拉丁美洲，有越来越多的华人参与地方和国家政治。随着这些华人社群在他们的新家园里进一步扎根，当华人企业家在环球经济中进行跨国界的合作时，便不会感到那么不自在。我祝墨尔本的大会成功。
第二篇，英汉口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Thank you very much for giving such a rare opportunity to speak to the meeting. I hope to take this chance to express my concern over the development of China and the world. The views I am expressing are not only my own, but also the inspiration for my friends, including members of the think tanks of French decision makers.First of all, globalization is an economic phenomenon. It refers to the economic exchanges and free trade in the whole world, representing the development of human society. As a matter of fact, globalization is not a new international phenomenon. The rapid development in telecom technology have determined the trend of globalization. High-tech development, especially the popularization of internet, has sped up the process of globalization.In recent years, the Western countries, especially the United States, have held a very active attitude towards globalization. They hope to, through globalization, seek recognition of the Western-style political system, such as multi-party system, democratization of political system, and transparency of economic system in attempt to realize a peaceful evolution worldwide. In the coming 50 years,Globalization will bring about greater changes than in the past two centuries. Today, this process has offered everyone in the world all kinds of possibilities, good or bad, and triggered off more fierce disputes between those who support opening and those who safeguard national integrity. Those who back the opening believe that the world will be inevitably open and dominated by the values of the West, such as democratic politics and market economy.Any countries that resist the trend will definitely suffer from economic recession and political isolation. Those who support national independence believe that globalization will lead to the result that the world is controlled by a multi-state group headed by the U.S. and the market economy. This will impair independent national values, sovereignty, and environment protection. Globalization is actually Americanization.The conflict between both views can be seen at the international conferences and on the streets as well. During the international conferences, the disputes are particularly eye-catching when the World Trade Organization and World Bank meetings are held. In my opinion, human beings should not limit their future to the two choices only. They should reach understanding on the basis of maintaining diversification to avoid conflicts. Asia, especially China, should play an important role in this regard.So long as we have a clear judgment of the situation and make full use of the cards in hand, the 21st century would belong to the Asians, just like the 19th of the Europeans and the 20th of the Americans. To some well-noted Western scholars, so long as its society is stable and developing, China will become the world's number one economic power in the 21st century. If China's economic growth keeps at an annual rate of 10%,While the United States' economic growth cannot exceed 2.5% by 2015, China's GNP will keep up with that of the U.S. If China's economy is developing at an annual rate of 7%, it will catch up with the U.S. in 30 years. However, we should be clearly aware that will be the wealth the whole country produces, not the wealth of each Chinese citizen. By 2020, China's per capita income cannot match the current level of Argentina and Portugal.Even if the economy grows at the current speed, China can reach the level of per capita income by the middle of the 22nd century. In another word, China needs to make persistent effort if it wants to become the world's leading power. Major social progress has been made from China's economic development, but many problems still exist, such as population control, agricultural modernization, grain problem, state enterprise reform, traffic, laid off workers, education, and environmental protection. It seems that the Chinese are not quite aware of the severe situation. In the course of globalization, these will no longer be mere domestic problems. They will hinder China's development in the international context. In this sense, China's strategy of Western development should not only serve to balance the economic growth between the coastal and Western inland areas, it will also determine its competitiveness in the course of globalization. China needs a rapid and long-standing economic development. Nobody could slow down this trend. But to protect the environment and control social and regional disparity, the new development must rely on systematic renovation and application of new technologies. Entry to the international organizations, especially those that formulate rules about globalization, has become a key to a successful country. The World Trade Organization will become stronger than ever. Nearly all the countries will join in this organization. Some new international organization will also emerge, such as International Criminal Court or some stronger NGOs, which will work in the whole world. The United Nations will play an even bigger part in controlling those international financial organizations ruled by a few Western powers. To balance the interests of various continents, G8 will also develop. At present, it only accepts most developed industrial countries. Someday, it will be open to China and all the members of UN Security Council. Domestic media seem to be worried that China would be lagging behind in the course of globalization and be excluded from the game of international competition. Actually, there are not sufficient reasons for such worry. Most far-sighted personages in the Western Europe agree to this view. Without the participation of China having a population of 1.3 billion, globalization will be nothing but an empty talk. Without the participation of China, WTO will see no future. We are relieved to see that China has been clearly aware that the country must be further opened up in order to speed up the reform. The entry to WTO is a good opportunity. China can make good use of this opportunity to join in globalization, attract more foreign investments, adjust neighborly relations, and use high tech to improve its administrative efficiency. China is also having a unique card to cope with globalization. That is, the thousands of overseas Chinese. They are the reliable and worth developing resources. The support and suggestions of overseas Chinese to the country's modernization can be seen as one of the favorable international conditions. Modern China is developing towards the goal of a world power. The advent of the new century is also offering her inestimable development opportunity. As an overseas Chinese, I firmly believe that China will make greater contributions to mankind with the advance of globalization.